Live from the Hanania Studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, good evening. Welcome into the Hanania Studio for Jaguars Monday. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco from CBSSportsLine.com, and Tony Baselli. And as you can imagine, we have a lot to get into. Our big three and our top story tonight is that Blaine Gabbert is out. He suffered that laceration on his hand. We've seen a photo of it that someone took off of TV. It is a deep, deep cut. 15 stitches to close. Skin missing. It is a very significant laceration on his hand. And today, the head coach in his news conference this afternoon talked about the hand and why Blaine Gabbert would not be available. In all likelihood, he won't be available until the Jaguars play the Colts here at the end of the month. We'll have that one for you in just a moment.
Great job.
And so here we go. Here is the head coach.
I think it's important for our players to start owning this, or talking as if they're beginning the process of owning what we're asking them to do, offense, defense, and special teams. And our guys have done a good job with that up to this point, but we need to take it another step.
So, obviously, Blaine Gabbert not going to play this week in Oakland, out for this ballgame. Our second of the big three is that, according to some, the quarterback wouldn't have mattered yesterday anyway, the way the offensive line played, the way that the receivers played. And finally, this is what you expect from a team that's starting a building project. So that's our big three, obviously led by the fact that Blaine Gabbert is out. Want to try this one again?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's one thing for the coaches to constantly bring it up. Where we become more powerful is when our players own it. And that's what we're trying to get. And in order for them to own it, we need to give them clear direction, clear expectations, what we're after. And once we do that, then we keep preaching it, and then it's their responsibility to own that.
All right, we'll get back to the bite. But basically, we know what the story is, and that is that it's a deep cut. Some skin is missing. They can't afford any situation where his hand might get infected. So he will not be playing the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think it's more than just the infection, which is obviously a major deal, but he has to keep that hand fairly still, no movement, so that the deep laceration can heal. And so gripping a football or making a fist is going to be impossible. I don't think, listen, as he's been ruled out this week, I'd be shocked if he played in Seattle. I mean, that thing has to heal. It's a gash. I mean, it is not pretty.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's ugly.
In some locker rooms, that could be really bad down the coast a little bit.
In Tampa, where they had the MRSA.
You get infected,
that's
you're in big trouble.
It's dangerous. It really is. It's happened
dangerous.
In other NFL locker rooms in the past, too.
Browns.
But yeah, why even bother with it, right? You know what I mean? Just let it heal. Let everything heal. And then come back, and then if you can, you know, if you take your job, and then if you play healthy, and things don't work out, then obviously they're going to start scouting quarterbacks for next year.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get into that. But the other thing that's going to be interesting is that what happens when if Chad Henne, plays well. If this team goes out and beats Oakland and either plays very well or beats Seattle and Chad Henne plays at a high level, I mean, do you go back to Gabbert? And I'm not even – I don't think Gabbert was the least. And I get the tweets and the text messages and the comments today are cut Gabbert, get rid of him, he's a bum, he's the worst thing ever. If you're judging by that game, if that's your takeaway, I think it's an ignorant assessment, because if you're going to cut Gabbert because he didn't play well, you better cut the other 13 or 14 guys on offense that contributed to that, because Gabbert was the least of the issues yesterday at 1 o'clock.
What was the biggest? Besides Gabbert, was it the offensive line? Because it sure looked like
6 sacks, 15 hits, 5 drops. So just ask any of the other guys who stepped on the field, because there's a long list of the problems.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I was down. We had the mission control down there at CBS. We have all the TVs on, and the only game that wasn't on was Jacksonville.
What's that? I mean, what kind of no respect? Disrespect.
There were 10.
Pete, why don't you represent us down there?
There were 10 1 o'clock games.
You're unbelievable.
They had the red zone channel on, so you saw bits and pieces of it. But I got up and I heard all the bad stuff. Got a lot of tweets from fans. Oh, your guy Gabbert, he stinks. You know, we talk. Get Tebow, the whole deal.
Well,
yeah, and so I went and watched it today.
Get Tebow.
And I said to myself, I go, okay, this is going to be a horror show for the quarterback. And I'm with you. He wasn't good, but he wasn't alone.
But he wasn't terrible.
No, he wasn't. And we'll talk about that. I thought it would be far worse than what it was.
I mean, tell me what quarterback performs well with five drops and getting hit 15 times, knocked down, six of them sacks.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, show me the guy. Now, listen, could he do better? Can he I don't think he did a great job yesterday when things broke down of moving and trying to make a play down the field. He tucked it and he ran with it. That's fine. And that's a lot of younger quarterbacks do that. I mean, it's a short list of guys who, you know, get outside what I like to call playing above the X's and O's on a consistent basis. But he was harassed from the start. And they couldn't run the ball. They didn't block anybody. And I hate saying that about my guys up front, but it wasn't very good at all. The receivers were blanketed. Kansas City played man almost the entire game. And there was no separation. And when there was and the ball was thrown, it was dropped. And so for these people who want Blaine Gabbert to retire or be cut, it's ignorant. Not quite as ignorant as saying let's bring Tebow in, but it's dang close.
Hey, can we just put this to rest right now? Look, this year is about finding out whether Blaine Gabbert's the starter, right, Pete?
All right.
So it's going to be Blaine Gabbert, or as you said, they'll go quarterback scouting for next year, but it's not going to be Tebow. Tebow's not part of the equation. It's Blaine Gabbert. This is his year to prove that he's the guy, and if it's not him, it's going to be someone else, but it's not going to be Tebow.
No, if it's not Blaine, it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, or somebody that.
Well, no, then that makes sense, because if Blaine doesn't come through with the kind of year that we thought he might, well, then their record isn't going to be very good.
They'll be picking first.
Right.
They'll be picking first. So find out if he's the guy. And again, though, I went back and looked at it, and I had in my mind that this was going to be a horror show for Blaine Gabbert. And it wasn't good.
It was a horror show, but not just him. Blaine was not the star.
I mean, every time it seemed like they would get something going, something happened. The drop by A. Sanders, I thought, you have to pull that in. That's a 25-yard gain. He might even turn it up the sideline a little bit. Make the play. It was back-to-back drops.
Alan Reisner, the play before, would have set up third and short.
It just seemed like they'd get something going, and then you had a play call back on a penalty.
Well, there was one play where Cecil was wide open here on the Jaguar sideline, but Eugene Monroe got bull rushed by Tom Bahali, and just as he's releasing the ball, he's got Eugene hitting him.
Yeah, it was
a knockdown by Eugene.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And defensively, the same stuff. Where is the pass rush?
Well, listen, the pass rush.
Non-existent.
Listen, but we said that we don't have that guy who can win consistently one-on-one. I mean, it's not there. I thought the defense played fine. I mean, they gave up one long drive the entire game.
Right.
They had two short fields.
They weren't bad.
They gave touchdowns, and the other one was a pick six. I don't think the defense, was it great? Like, whoa, we got, Ravens 2000 defense, Chicago Bears 85. No, but it is did they play good enough to win that game? Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought they were fine. They were not terrible. They gave up some things to Jamal Charles, a lot of people will this year. I mean, and so I that wasn't the issue. And Blaine, listen, I'll put it this way. If yesterday's offensive performance was a horror film, which it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was miserable. Blaine would not have been the star of that horror film. He was like way down
the
cap.
Pick the star after watching the tape. Call him out.
I'll say this. I always put the blame for it because I'm a big believer. I tell the kids in high school that I coach, you start and finish with the offensive line.
Yeah, it was bad.
This offensive line determines how you play, in my opinion. Whether you can run the ball, whether you can protect the passer. If you can be successful up front, everything else is easier. And so, and I'm talking about my guys, that group right there, that was the biggest disappointment. If you look at that offense yesterday, you had the receiving core who had no experience besides Cecil Shorts, never had caught an NFL pass. You had a running back in Maurice Jones-Drew who's coming off of Liz Frank, and yes, he had, that's no excuse.
Yeah.
You had a first-year player at fullback, basically. You had a quarterback who'd missed 3 weeks because of a thumb injury and was,
starting
to grip the ball. The one group that had all five of their guys out there, the unit that I thought would be good this year, when you're that guy or that group, you have to raise your game. You have to put the team on your back and say, I'm going to make it easier for everybody else. Because everyone else is just getting introduced to the situation, and I don't think they did.
If I was still the beat guy, I would have given him an F on the report card and then got the treatment like you guys used to give me when I used to give you guys bad grades.
Hey, let's just finish up with Gabbard.
I'm sure the guys don't like me saying that, but...
Well, that's an F. They deserve an
F. It's because I believe in them.
Okay, so let's go back to Blaine before we take our first break. During the news conference today, someone was sent a tweet, a reporter, and he said, ask Bradley why he keeps standing up for Gabbard and what he sees in him, and here's what the coach had to say.
What I see is a guy that's very competitive. I think he's got really strong toughness. I don't know where that came from last year or years before or whatever about that, but I'm not seeing it with him. The guy is a competitor. He put hours and hours in this summer, in the off season, and he competed his tail off. And I have no problem standing up for Blaine Gabbert and what he brings to our team.
So, I mean, the general gist today, for most people out there, whether you're in line at Publix or you're reading something on Facebook or Twitter, is how in the world can they keep Blaine Gabbert? And the reality of it is, well, he's not going to play for the next 2 weeks with the hand, but the reality of it is that this is his year to decide to become that quarterback, or for the Jaguars to decide, rather, that they're moving in a different direction.
Well, I was going to say, how can you not? The right question is, how can you not find out if Blaine Gabbert's
the guy or not?
All
right, here's the question.
How can you not play him?
If there's no cut on the hand, does he start at Oakland this week?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
He should.
He wasn't – because if you're going to bench him, then bench the entire offensive line, right. Bench the running back, bench the receivers, bench the tight end, and start over. But guess what? There's not another 53 guys out on the street that are going to go find in and come play. I mean, this is not just like, hey, I don't like this guy. Let me go get someone new. And these – people that say this is ridiculous.
Tebow.
Oh, my God.
Tebow. Magic Johnson said today, Tebow. Did you see his tweet?
Let me ask you a question. I could be wrong, but, Brian, you can do the research for me. And I don't like piling on Tebow, but the fans,
I know someone that does.
Let me.
Was the year that the Broncos went to the playoffs, his only full year of starting, wasn't he the only quarterback with a lower passer rating than Blaine Gabbert?
Yes, yes.
And so let me ask you a question, people. So we're going to bring in a guy who had the guy who had the lower passer rating than our starting quarterback, who's been cut by two other teams. Oh, that you should be a GM if you think that. That's a great idea. Genius.
Tebow makes Blaine look like John Elway in his prime, okay?
And at that, we're going to take our first break of the evening. We've got a lot to talk about, folks. More from Gus Bradley. Got some from the offensive linemen as well. You're listening to Jaguars Monday from the Hanania Studio at Everbank Field. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
I mean, it was a great session. We know that there's stuff that we can control. I mean, that's stuff that we can be better at, and we have been better at. We just got to do a better job of it, and so it was definitely a good session.
That's Brad Meester in the locker room a few hours ago. I asked him.
Was it a good session?
I said, was it loud? I said, you know, George Yarno's reminds me of Mike Mazur. Was it loud in there today?
So good meeting he was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking last night. You think it was really a good meeting, or you think that's Brad putting on the veteran face there?
I think that's Brad being a veteran. He said, listen, Brad knows he's got to get better.
Andy Heck would have said, pat him on the back and said, go ahead, guys. We'll get them next week.
Oh, be nice.
I have to imagine, though, that offensive line room today.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes it's so bad that even, like, the loudest coaches know that. I mean, every guy in that room knew that it went bad. And so it gets to a point where you're better off just coaching and teaching instead of just ripping. It's sometimes the worst rippings where it was you didn't play terrible but not quite good enough and it was close. And, you know, sometimes when it's just that bad, you got to teach. And, hey, I mean, it is what it is.
See, I like an offensive line coach that'll jump a guy now and then, but I think some of these guys have become characters of themselves. By that, I mean they go too far to try and act like they're showing. You know what I mean?
I don't think there's any act about George Arno.
Well,
I think
but
pretty much
no, maybe not George. Not George. Not George. But there's, let's just say there's some coaches around this league, line coaches around this league that like.
There's head coaches as well.
Theatrics.
There's head coaches, you know? Like the theatrics.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. There's certain line coaches, and some of them have coached here in the past. The theatrics are a little too much for me. Just coach the guy. Coach him up. Yell at him once in a while. Put a foot in his butt. But don't show
up. You got to put a foot in the butt.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, wasn't the former line coach, the line coach yesterday of the other team here?
Yeah.
And that line played pretty well.
Mm.
Okay.
That center's good. Hudson?
He's a good player. He's going to be a good player.
He's a good player.
Former guard at Florida State, by
He's
the way.
A good player. Albert's a good player.
Albert's a good player.
I wasn't overly impressed with the right tackle.
Both of them. It's going to take time for those two.
I guess.
So, look, this offense, how do I even say this? We saw them in the first, quarter and a half in New York, and Blaine was throwing to Justin Blackmon, and
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going with this?
But I'm
going to
say
my question.
Let me just say this about the preseason. It's fool's gold.
Well, no, I know that. My point is this.
Isn't it?
Yes. But all you got to do is look at who the best players are every preseason and see what their names are, and you'll go, okay, it's fool's
but
gold.
But didn't you get the sense that they would at least on offense be functional? I mean, I know this is a build. I mean, this is what a build looks like. I expected there would be moments like that.
I thought they'd score.
I didn't think it happened yesterday.
I thought they'd score between 14 and 21
points.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I thought they'd move the ball.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that shocked me. I was shocked about yesterday.
So is it fool's gold from here on out?
No. Listen, here's the thing. And I've heard so many dumb comments today. Not as dumb, different topic, but I heard the dumbest comment ever in Athens, Georgia. I went to the Georgia South Carolina game, Pete.
Why?
Just to go watch it. My boys up there, just go hang out. Dumbest comment I've ever heard, but I might as well tell it now.
Yeah, you might. Everyone's hanging on the edge of their seat.
I was in line.
I'm wondering whether Pete said it or I said it.
No, it was Georgia, South Carolina. I'm in line waiting for a concession. And a Georgia fan, they were tied at halftime, says, man, I wish we could get Steve Spurrier here. He could really turn this program around.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, didn't Mark Richt just take you to the SEC title game? Was 5 yards away from it. And my point in saying that story is I love the fans. They make the game. But sometimes the comments are just unbelievable that you can't – you would think after today that we might as well fire – that Gus Bradley's the wrong hire, fire Jed Fish because he's an idiot. You know, no one can play football, and they're never going to score a point the rest of their lives.
Imagine doing it with 32 teams every week and hearing from every single one of them.
Unbelievable. Because here's the thing. Jed Fish is a very good offensive coordinator. I'm not going to change my opinion on that. Gus Bradley is the right guy. In fact – his reaction today made me know he's the right guy because he has a conviction of how he's going to build this team, and he is not going to change. Now, he might be wrong 3 years from now, but he's not going to change at the first sign of adversity. And what do we see all the time out of coaches? As soon as it goes bad, they change. And Gus won't change.
No, I understand. They probably have rights to be frustrated. But I also know there's some loyal fans out there, and they're passionate about our team, and they want it as bad as we want it. I respect that and understand completely their feelings. But we have to take care of what we have to in here. I think we've kind of pictured to our players the process we're going to go through, the expectations we have, and we're going to stay convicted to that. And we trust, we'll both be pleased when this all comes together.
That's exactly what you just got done.
That's my whole point. After today, it makes me even know more he is the right guy because how he's handling this. I believe in Jed Fish. I believe in the coaching staff. I believe in Dave Caldwell. And it's not just because people are saying, well, you're work for the team and you got to speak the company line. That's not true at all. I think they're the right group of guys. That was awful yesterday. I mean, I'll give you a little insight into the booth of me and Logman and Sexton. I mean, I was laying my head beating it against the table because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is, unwatchable. And so I'm not going to sugarcoat how bad it was. But, I mean, come on. This is the first game. This is a process. This team will get better. It was terrible. They're going to get better.
Yeah, but, Tony, here's the thing, okay? How many people out there and in here, in this building, too, how many people deep down expected some of this?
I'll tell you what. I did not see 28-2 come yesterday.
Yeah, but
Pete,
dissect. Okay, maybe not 28-2.
I did not see the offense. I'll say this. I did not think our offensive line would play like
that
this.
That offensive line was bad yesterday.
I have high hopes.
But these
are the kind of
games when you have a young team. And I'm not defending what that product was on the field yesterday because it was horrible. Okay, with a capital H. But you got to remember
what it is.
Right.
No.
They have. Where are the weapons in the passing game? They're all kids. Where are the pass rushers? They don't have any. The quarterback took a beating. I mean, just add it all up.
Here's my thing, real quick.
Okay.
Is I expected it out of the receivers, frankly, especially when I found out Mercedes was out. I expected it to be tough. I did not expect, but what I expected is that our offensive line would be able to compete at a high enough level to give Blaine some time and to allow Mojo to get some things going.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about the expectations for this team in the first year of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley and what the next couple of weeks might look like. We've got an angry caller. Is that what I'm told? An angry caller who will be first up.
Angry at me?
Well, just angry in general.
Oh, God, I like angry.
Yes.
People. I'm angry,
too. Here we go.
I love anger.
Buckle up, caller.
Let's go.
We're back to the Hanania Studio after news here on News Talk WOKV and Jaguars Radio.
It was pretty severe, and he had 15 stitches, and they're worried that some of the skin isn't there. It ripped off part of the skin, so some of those are even open right now, even though they were stitched. So the fear of getting infection in there, sweat from practice, anything that could get in there, and the threat of infection.
Resetting our top story for you, Blaine Gabbert with the laceration, with the stitches, with the skin missing from his hand, not able to go next Sunday in Oakland, probably won't be ready to go for Seattle, could be ready when the Colts come down here at the end of the month of September. That's the big story. Our other top three, the quarterback wouldn't have mattered yesterday if you've heard Tony Boselli talking why. The offensive line struggled up front against Kansas City. And then one of the topics that we will get
and
to.
And the receivers couldn't get open.
And I don't want to leave it just on the offensive line, but that was the thing that had you most vehement.
Yes.
And then finally.
I love the big guys, but man, this, they make me mad.
This yesterday, you know, the process that we've heard so much about, this is what a build looks like. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Jaguars Monday, and we've got callers holding on the line, and let's go right to them. By the way, you can join us, 355-NFL1.
Is this the angry callers?
Bring it!
800-355-6-3-5-5.
I miss angry callers. I used to get them every afternoon. I haven't had. I miss those guys.
What's the angry caller's name?
And our broadcast is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, Maple finished. We'll find out. We'll start with Dave, who joins us first on the program from the Hodges area of Jacksonville. Dave, you're up. Good evening.
Pete, how the heck are you?
Man, I am great, Dave. Never been better, to be honest with you.
Well, I miss your show, good. Pete.
Yeah, so do a lot of people. Let's just say bad decision by a bad manager. How's that?
I got you.
I think it was a great decision because we got him here now.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you got to get back full-time, Pete. You got to. Nobody's got a stick like you in this city, okay?
Thank goodness.
I'll leave it at that. And then, I will say the most successful people in talk radio, Limbaugh, Howard Stern, Pete Prisco, they got a shtick.
Whoa! Hey, put me in that tax bracket, would you?
Do you know what those guys make?
Yeah, put me in a tax bracket.
Who doesn't belong in those three guys?
Stern.
No, well.
All right, Dave, I'm going to give you the stage again.
I'm not going to kilo Michael Alpha on you there, Pete. You know, that's KMA.
All right, what do you want? Forget Pete. Let's talk about something else. Talk about the Jags. What's your question? Or comment, something.
No, my question. It's not my question. This is the lowest moment in the history of the franchise.
No, it's not. You're wrong, Dave.
This is the lowest.
I heard that 15 times last year.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, wait.
Let me have a minute here. No.
Yeah.
2 points after all this. We've been through for the last with Jack Del Rio just raping this city, and the fact that my wife and I were sitting there watching the game. We're laughing at our team.
That's not very nice. You shouldn't laugh.
Dave, it's one game on a rebuilding team. This isn't the lowest point in the franchise. The lowest point in the franchise when they lost at home to the Titans.
How about the Monday night debacles where we got blown out on national television?
Jonathan Quinn.
Oh. I remember that.
How about the Detroit game in 95, 44-0? That was the lowest point.
They took a knee in the third quarter.
Yes. No, this is the lowest moment in the franchise.
No, we disagree, Dave.
We'll agree to disagree.
Again, man.
See you later, bud.
Tony, I want to say one thing to you, okay?
Okay.
I was a 3-year starter, center, outside linebacker in high school, underachiever, could have played probably Division II or III at least. But I want to say to you, that I never, ever enjoyed a moment of Jaguar history the way you threw Bruce Smith around in Buffalo.
Thank you. I enjoyed
it,
too.
From the low to the high real quick, didn't he?
I love him. I love you, Dave. You're my
favorite. At first, you're tired of him because you think he's just fawning over Pete too much. Then he fawns over you.
I love him.
He's the greatest.
Best caller ever. Right,
Don is next from the South Side. We'll see if you're still talking that talk when he's done. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show. Don?
Hello?
There you go, Don.
Sorry, it's John.
John. Hello, John.
Yes, sorry.
No worries.
You know, I almost don't want to even speak because I've talked to you guys before, and I know how you feel about this, but I'm thinking we have Tim Tebow available, and please don't speak until I finish. Tim Tebow's available. Why not just fill up the stadium? Maybe we'll win a game, but we're not going to win a game right now. Let's just fill up the stadium.
Somehow, some way, I don't think this is a serious call. I think you're just trying to light.
You're trying to light my fuse
and Tony's
fuse.
You're kidding, right?
Yeah, you're joking.
Ready to Gabbard's doing nothing.
Yeah, no, wait, John, serious. I got to ask you. Are you being serious? Are you being serious?
I actually am.
Oh my gosh. John, give it up, okay? It's over. That ship has sailed. It's done. He can't play. He stinks.
You just said you had to fill the stadium.
I just told you he stinks.
I was a long time season ticket holder. I mean, long time. And when they started to go to shit, I gave up.
Come on, John.
Did you get it?
John.
Hey, by the way, fill up the stadium. The stadium was full yesterday. What's he talking about? What are you going to do? People are going to go buy tickets to watch that garbage?
No.
Listen, he stinks.
Guess what? John, you've been banned for the bad language and the awful
That makes
take.
Me feel like the old days, though. That was every day on my show.
Let's grab Derek in Orange Park next on Jaguars Monday. Derek, you're up. What's going on? Be careful, Derek.
Watch the language. I had a question of, I just noticed, like, when I was at the game yesterday, but on first down, it's like the Kansas City Chiefs were daring us to throw over the top, and we never did. And I was just curious if y'all thought on that.
Early, I think the game plan was to try to throw some short stuff to allow Gabbard to get in a rhythm and try to get them moving side to side. The problem is we had some drops. And, frankly, the Chiefs were doing a good job playing press and making it very difficult for us to get those things going. On top of that, not getting the run at all put us in some really bad down and distances. We were third and four only twice during the game, and we converted both those third downs. The rest of the time, we were in long yardage situations. And then the last point is, watching the coaches' film today, Jed Fish did call some stuff down the field. It wasn't there. They were covered up. And so I know it's hard sometimes because we just see we follow the ball, we follow the quarterback. But if you watch the tape, was it all the time? No, I'm not going to say it. Early in the game, they were trying to get some rhythm and make some easy throws with Blaine, I think. They did try to take some shots down the field as the game moved on. But I don't think that was the main major issue.
Yeah, one thing, and I'm a big fan of Jed Fish. I really am. I think he does a great job. I'm not a big fan of the little dumpy sideline routes that a lot of teams throw. He's not alone.
No, but, Pete, if you can't protect.
I know.
You can't hold it back then.
But that came out that way, Tony. You even said that. They couldn't protect right away.
But I think they were trying to get – listen, you had a guy who hadn't played for 3 weeks.
Right.
You had a guy who's coming off a thumb. I mean, I don't think it would have been prudent to let's come out and air it out and throw it 50 yards down the field to start.
I think Dirk Cutter's a great offensive play caller, but I think at times they get too caught up in those little dumpy screens.
You know what it is, though? That's an extended run. That's
right.
All it is.
Right. Well, you know how I feel about runs.
Right.
You know what's amazing is you two guys, it's just like being back in the locker room in 1998.
Yeah. When I put him in all the arguments again.
When I put him in his place all the time.
Exactly. See what I mean,
he
folks?
He was my source. He was my deep throat.
That's
right. Oh, you're crazy.
Jaguars.
Don't even start that. I was the furthest thing from that. I know exactly who your source
who
was.
Who was my though. Source?
I'm not going to say on the air. I wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't do that.
15 years ago. We're all men now.
I don't want
to. The only place in town I can't get a word in edgewise. Let's take a break. We'll come back more, including a Baptist Health injury update when we return to Jaguars Monday here on Jaguars Radio.
Live from the Hanania studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, live from the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Joe Fortunato. Look, hour number two generally is going to be a league-focused hour, but we've got it covered from every angle. Phone callers held through the break, so we're going to grab them here, and then we will move on in. We've got a face-off coming, the CopyFax face-off, 7:20, or roughly in that area between Pete and Tony, and they're talking about Mike Wallace and yesterday with the Dolphins. But let's start with Tony in Middleburg, first here in hour number two. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Couple comments, first of all. Brian, you wear your emotions on your sleeve in that booth, man. You could just hear it in your voice, you know, how the game is going, and I appreciate that. You know, it's some commentators, you don't hear a whole lot of emotion on the radio, but you can hear it in yours, and I appreciate it.
Well, it's who I am. What can I say? Thank you.
As far as the new PA announcer, yuck. That's all I'll say about that. He needs a lot of practice.
None of us even hear it because we have headsets on the whole game.
I've never heard the PA announcer once in my life.
Yep.
Well, I understand, but it's something that when you're sitting there and you got your headphones on and you're listening, you can hear it. And now, other than that, the main reason I called is I contemplated real hard and long about renewing my tickets, and I've had them since I retired from the Navy in 97. I had, at one of the fan forums, I had a comment made to me by one of the guys there. It's either Caldwell or one of them I was talking to, and he said that, and he put it this way, he said, this is not a rebuild, this is new construction. And after I thought about it, I said, you know what, I'm going to stick with it. So if everybody, I think, would take that attitude, I think it would just benefit everyone.
You know, can I state the obvious here? The worst team in football in 1997 was the Indianapolis Colts, right? And the prize for them enduring that build, right, and that was Bill Polian, and he was starting the build, was Peyton Manning. And ironically, in 2011, the worst team in football was the Indianapolis Colts after Peyton got hurt. And boy, that was a rough season for those guys. I mean, now the Jaguars weren't very good, but they were better than that team. And I remember going up there and thinking, God, this is awful. But in the spring, I didn't feel so bad for him because the prize was Andrew Luck, right? So here's the point. When you are not a very good football team, you endure, but you get. And there's a prize or two or three for this football team in the building process next year if they're where they were this year, which is probably the proximity of where they're going to be. So, yeah, right now it stinks. But when you look at what they can build and the players that they can get, this team has to go through this.
They have to.
You don't want 6-10.
No, the worst thing for any franchise is, you know,
mediocrity.
4 straight years of 6-10, 7-9, because you're not getting good players at the top or great players at the top of the draft, and you're not making the playoffs. That's the worst thing. It's the worst thing for a city, because it's bad when you cover a team that's 7-9, 6-10. I used to say it's either it's good to cover a team that's good, or it's fun to cover a team that really stinks.
Right. Now, understand, no one here is suggesting, and Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are not going to tank the season to assure themselves Clowney or Bridgewater, any of those guys. But it's just a fact that the Jaguars roster is young and it is thin, and the Jaguars are going to struggle to get their system put in place this year so that they can acquire better players and then take a quantum leap forward at some point in the near future. It's just the way it works. And, Tony, that's what David Caldwell meant to you, or Gus Bradley, when he said, it's new construction. It's completely new construction. Pete, it feels like 95 to me, in a sense that the mission here this year is, in 95 they identified Tony Baselli and Mark Brunell, and to some degree, Jimmy Smith, though they weren't quite sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him credit for that one. They didn't even want to sign him.
Well, okay. But at the end of the Denver game at the end of 95, where the three touchdowns, are like, okay, this kid can do something.
Right.
They still didn't think enough of him not to sign Andre Rison, right? But they identified some players. That's what this is. That's what it is. No one wants to hear it. No one wants more of it. But that's what it is. And if the Jaguars do it right, if they're patient, if they follow Caldwell and Bradley's plan, they will benefit. It might just not be as much fun this year on the field. Which is why, by the way, they're working so hard to make the game day experience fun here.
Right.
Okay. I'm done ranting.
That was a
good
rant.
Your job.
All right. Well, let's get the next caller. We gave you that segment.
Did you wake
back up?
Yeah.
355-NFL-1.
Wake up, Tony.
I'm awake. Tony. I know he likes to talk, so he hasn't had much time.
I don't get much anymore, exactly. Lee's on the west side.
Baselli talks too much.
Yeah, well, he's taking my time. Lee, hey, how are you tonight?
Brian, I wish it was 95 again. That was exciting times, and you definitely saw a team with talent that was going to be ascending, and that sure paid out on 96.
You may see it before the end of the year.
Nowhere near that.
Well, wait a second now. Do you remember the 7 straight losses in 95? I do.
I do, too. Yeah.
And I don't listen, it was exciting because it was brand new. It was a new franchise, and the city had longed to have an NFL team. But I don't think it's that much different. You have a lot of young players.
Yeah.
A lot of talented young players.
And there will be some tough times.
There's going to be tough times. And I disagree, what's the caller's name?
Lee.
I disagree with Lee to say that this team doesn't have talent on it. It's just young talent and not a lot of it.
Well, Pete already answered my question before I came on the air. He said it's going to be a 3-year build, so good luck, Tony, in selling those tickets for the next 3 years. It's hard to endure the product that's on the field now.
But see, the product that you saw yesterday – the product that you saw yesterday won't be there every week. I mean, there will be some of that this year because they've got the Seahawks in Seattle and the 49ers they've got to play in London. There's going to be some of that because you got the Texans twice and you got Andrew Luck twice. But they'll get better. I mean, they don't have to stay at 28-2, and the product by the end of the year should be better to watch.
And it will be better next year, and then you would think in year 3 that you're going to push for a playoff spot, maybe more. That's the way teams are built now. It's first year you take your lumps, second year you get better, third year you push for a playoff spot, and maybe more.
That's a different question. I'll take it off the air. You always told us, and Brian, I think you were the one making the point, how respected Gene Smith was around the league, and just want to know, where is he working now? Does he have a new job in the league anywhere?
He's collecting a big check for doing nothing.
He's smart. Yeah. Here's the question to ask yourself.
Will he
have a job next year?
Well, if he wants to go back to scouting again, that's not relevant to this year.
First of all, who cares? I like Gene. Love him. Wish him the best. But who cares? Does that have to do with anything, Lee?
I defended Gene at times. I think Gene was a good scout who was kind of got lost in being a general manager. It wasn't his thing. It just wasn't.
Well, he had a philosophy. He had a philosophy that didn't work.
Stop? Right. Who cares?
All right.
It doesn't matter.
Well, he asked a question.
All right, well, it's a dumb question. Just because someone asks a question, you don't have to answer
it. Well, guys, this reason this roster is the way it is because of that general manager and his staff. Yes, it does.
It does not. It has nothing to do
with
it.
Tony.
It has nothing to do with what Dave Caldwell is trying to do now.
No, it has nothing to do with what he's trying to do, but it has the reason this team is the way it is because Gene Smith and his staff were here.
Well, why pile on? What does it have to do with anything?
Well, because that's what we do. We pile on.
That's stupid.
We're going to do it with the Copy Facts Face-Off coming up in a couple of minutes here. Jeff is in Ortega, and he is next on Jaguars Monday. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Pretty good. I got a comment to make. I'm glad they're starting Chad Henning next week out on the West Coast. And I hope, if they lose, we can understand that, but I hope they at least move the ball down the field, because if they don't move the ball down the field, I think there's going to be some vacant seats. That's just my comment. I'll listen off there. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Jeff, thanks so much. We've got John, who's in Georgia, up next. John, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Good. Okay, John.
I'm calling to give everybody a word of advice after the game yesterday.
Who's everybody?
There's a song. Everybody in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Everybody in Jacksonville, because I know a lot of people are upset because they don't want to see rebuilding. But there's a song by Guns N' Roses called Patience. Crank it loud and listen to it, and go the rest of the season listening to that song, because this is going to take time. It's not going to be an overnight rebuild. I mean, Gus has been saying it, Dave's been saying it, and you can see it. I mean, you saw it during preseason. Last year was, bad. This year can't be as bad as last year, but if it is, we're starting off new. There's been a whole big roster change.
All right, appreciate
it. Thank you.
John, thanks so much. 355-NFL-1-800.
I like the musical reference.
355-6351.
Rock on.
Somehow I don't think you'll hear it
in
the stadium.
Are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
Yeah.
You are? All right, just checking.
College I was. I can't remember the last time I listened to him, but college, a long time ago.
Well, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape, folks. See your Southern Ford dealer today.
I don't know if this
They're
is
a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. I didn't have anything to add there. Joe might have. Joe was a disc jockey. Joe spun those records back when they were vinyl.
Hey, let me say one thing about the rebuild, new construction, whatever we want to call it.
I like new construction.
I like new construction. And about the process. The process gets much faster once you identify the quarterback. If it's Blaine Gabbert after this year and he progresses to the point where he is the guy that they're confident with moving forward, it'll be better faster. If it's not Blaine and they go identify the guy in the draft, it gets better faster. The Colts were the worst team in football. They made the playoffs. The Redskins were atrocious. They got RG3. They made the playoffs. It's about finding a lot of good players, players that surround the quarterback, but it's also about finding the guy.
Right, but I want to ask you this. Okay, let's just say everything was exactly the same right now, and Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What would their record be?
Aaron Rodgers?
Right now, as is.
Well, I think they'd be fighting for a playoff spot.
Right, but would they be a Super Bowl team?
No, I don't think that we're not deep enough.
Right. So they're in itself, when you answer that question and say, no, they wouldn't be a Super Bowl contender, is the other side of the story. Because I agree with you. The quarterback cures all your ills, and a bad one exposes them all. But even this
you still got to build the roster.
But you take Rodgers and put him on most teams, they're going to be a Super Bowl team. But that's how this team has to come back from the depths
I agree.
Of being
we're,
so bad.
We're saying the same thing. You've got to surround
whoever
it is. And I'm not convinced. Listen, this is why it's so important to me that Blaine Gabbert plays this year. So you can make a decision at the end, one way or another.
Right. And you'll make a decision.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's just go to break right now. Take a deep breath. Come back with a coffee back. Face off. I told you. Not only was he a DJ, he was the DJ.
Fine. All we need is just a little patience.
Our broadcast tonight is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Brian Sexton along with Tony Buscelli and Pete Prisco. What'd you just call it? Overreaction Monday?
Overreaction Monday. That's what the first Monday of every NFL season is. Teams think their team is going to the Super Bowl that won, and teams that were bad think they're the worst thing in the history of the world.
And it makes it fun.
That's a great.
Love it. Get it here.
All right, time for the Copy Facts Face-Off. And we're talking about Mike Wallace, the former Pittsburgh Steelers sensation who was signed to a huge $60 million deal.
Receiver acquisition in the offseason.
Okay, correct. After the game yesterday, he had one catch for 15 yards, and he's supposed to be the big new target for Ryan Tannehill. His quote was, "I don't feel like talking." When a reporter pressed him by asking about the game plan, the receiver said, "I don't feel like talking about it. Ask coach."
Now, today, everyone backed up. What were his numbers again?
1 for 15.
Okay.
So, you guys, here you go. Is he worth the money they gave him?
No. Well, that's to be determined.
No, it's already
a one game. There he is, Overreaction Monday, Tony. You're just like the fans, Overreaction Monday. Now, look, the bottom line is, because he was on the field, Brian Hartline saw a ton more single coverage and was able to go for 9 for 123 and a touchdown. So Mike Wallace, his mere presence on the field helped slant the coverage that way and had Hartline in single coverage. So from that value, yeah, there's value there from that standpoint. But
Mike Wallace will be 60 catches this year, under 1,000 yards. He is a one-dimensional
one-trick pony. You're going to say
one-trick
pony.
No,
he's not.
Yes, he is.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do. Put on a tape from the Giants game last year and watch him catch a crossing route against the Giants, run away from everybody and turn it into a 60-yard
touchdown.
He was misused.
Mike Wallace is not an elite receiver.
Well,
he's not elite.
He's not elite.
No.
In what? Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson elite? Not many guys are.
Go one level. Brian Hartline will have a bigger year, better numbers than Mike Wallace.
Brian Hartline's a better player than Mike Wallace?
His numbers are.
Wait, but Brian Hartline is better. If you say that, you're really going to put yourself in a deep
hole.
You're going to go 0 for 3
on these
debates.
I would not have paid Mike Wallace the money. I would not have. He would not have been the number one receiver that I'd have gone after. He is not elite.
Confirmed touchdown, by the way. just now. Bad call. Look,
he's not elite, Pete.
Tony, Mike Wallace is a speed receiver who makes teams respect him down the field. There are only so many guys in this league.
You know who he is?
Who is he?
Michael Irvin, opposite Michael Irvin for the Cowboys.
Alvin Harper?
He's Alvin Harper.
So when Alvin Harper was a good guy next to him? Alvin Harper. Number one receiver?
He's a one-trick pony. He's a deep threat.
I disagree with you.
He's not an elite receiver.
Well, he's not an elite receiver.
Okay, then why do you pay him elite money then, Pete?
He's still only a young guy.
Because
you think he can become the elite, receiver. You don't pay guys on the slope down. You pay him on the slope up.
The Steelers weren't very anxious to keep him.
They were misused him. They didn't know how to use him. Todd Haley had this guy.
He
should have been going vertical with Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't use him the right way.
Ben Roethlisberger had the best numbers of his career before he got hurt under Todd Haley.
It was a bad offense. Not the best numbers.
His best rating ever as a quarterback.
Rating is the most misunderstood, overvalued stat in the league.
Best.
So you're a passer
best
rating
year.
Guy? You're a passer rating guy?
What statistics do you want to use?
Touchdowns, yards per attempt, yards.
One that fits your argument?
Touchdowns, yards per attempt, yards.
Hey, listen, Mike Wallace, this is the argument that I've won once again. He is not elite. He should not have been. If I was a GM, I would not have paid him elite money. He is not a number one guy. He's not a number one receiver.
The reason Brian Hartline did what he did yesterday was because of Mike Wallace
you're crazy.
Being on the
Brian
field.
Brian Hartline had good numbers last year.
He had one good game last year at Arizona. And and by the way, Brian Hartline's making about $40 million too.
Brian
Hartline's a better player than Mike Wallace. You're on the verge of it. I know you want to say it. Brian Hartline's
a more complete receiver.
By the end of this year, Mike Wallace will prove to be worth the money for the Miami Dolphins.
Play the patience song again for Tony.
Speed kills.
One trick pony.
All right, guys. There you go. Copy facts. 3-0. Face off every week.
I feel bad. You're gonna be like one of those teams that's gonna draft first because you get beat every week.
3-5. He beat Loggeman last week. 355 NFL 1-800-355-6351. At least he says so. Sean's in Orange Park. Hello, Sean. You're on with Tony and Pete.
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Good.
When Justin Blackman comes back, how do you think that he's going to affect the offense, and what quarterback would you guys rather see him getting thrown to?
Well, I think he's going to help the offense. He's a big physical receiver who will help in the middle of the field. Now, what quarterback? The one who play? I think it's got to be Blaine all year. If he's healthy, he's got to play, period. End of story. If he stinks, then you got to draft one.
This year is about finding out whether he's the guy or not.
It's the first right thing Pete has said this entire segment.
Yeah, sure.
I love this show. You should see all the Twitter stuff that's coming, by the way.
He got in pass pro, and I went right around him.
Whatever.
So are the Steelers any good?
No.
After week one, Mr. Overreaction.
I said it, by the way, before they ever played week one. I said they would not be a playoff team. At best, their best number as far as wins would be 9-7. With losing Pouncey, it'll be a struggle for them to get to 8-8.
Well, he didn't play at all. He was hurt last year. He wasn't healthy.
And
they would have made the playoffs if Ben didn't get hurt. All that matters is Ben Roethlisberger standing up. But they will go to 0-2 because they play at Cincinnati.
They are not going to make the playoffs. I said it before.
Who's the extra team in the postseason then in the AFC? Give it to me. Is it the Chiefs?
It's the Colts, the Texans, the Bengals, the Ravens. The Patriots,
the Broncos, the Colts.
Yeah, Colts.
I don't know about that team. I think that team should have lost at home yesterday to the Raiders.
But they didn't.
All right, that's who the Colts are. They're not that good. The Colts are not that good. Colts year is next year. They're not that good this year. Talk about a team loaded with young players. Step back, then step forward. That's what the Colts will do.
All right, 355 NFL 1. Let's grab a phone call and we'll go to Bill, who's on the South Side. You're on Jaguars Monday. Bill, good evening.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, people are talking about Gabbert today, and there's so many of them saying, well, we need to get another quarterback because he isn't any good. Well, the reasons he seemed to play poorly yesterday were the same reasons that Mojo played poorly yesterday, that offensive line wasn't doing their job. But the thing is, nobody's talking about, well, we got to dump Mojo and get a running back in here. But they say that about Gabbert, and I don't quite understand it. You know, I think Gabbert, Henny, I don't even know why he came to Jacksonville in the first place, because he's not going to be a lasting quarterback. We need to really, really work with Gabbert, because I think he's a good fella, and he's so promising. You know, I mean, he's just been so unlucky with the injuries and this and that. But really, I don't see anybody trashing Mojo and telling him, man, he better bench him and get somebody else. You know?
Good point. Well, he's talking about the offensive line.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Mojo's done it.
No, Mojo's done it, number one. Number two, Mojo doesn't play quarterback. The quarterback is the most scrutinized position in all sports. And if you don't like it, then don't play quarterback.
Well, and I'll tell you this. If Mojo doesn't get his little wheels going, he's going to start taking the heat, too. Well, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
It's a production league. That's what it is.
What have you done for me lately?
Right. Nobody cares about what happened last year.
355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Let's talk to John up next. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
How you guys doing?
Great. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, all right. I was just concerned. I turned on the radio this evening, and everyone is all panicked, and I can certainly understand that in the wake of yesterday's game, but I don't know. I think people are seeing the Chiefs 14 team that they were last year, and I think a lot of people, myself included, see them as a potential playoff team, possibly winning 9 or 10 games this year. And I think when you put it in that light, maybe the Jags' loss at the end of the year isn't going to look quite as bad to the Chiefs. And I think the Jags' schedule is much more favorable for the second half of the season as opposed to the first half. So I don't think we should panic just yet.
No, you can't panic after week one. I mean, you just can't. And I do agree with you, the schedule is more favorable, and for a lot of reasons. The teams you play and the fact that you have a young team that's going to get better.
If that was, for example, I'll give you one. Tampa Bay's loss against the Jets,
bad,
to me, is a much worse loss than Jacksonville getting blown out at home to Kansas City.
Huge.
Because Tampa Bay is supposed to be that team that is ready to take the next step. And they go to New York and lose that game the way they did. So you got to look at losses and put them in context a little bit of where the team is. And this team isn't going to compete for a playoff spot this year. Forget about it. It's not happening. Anybody who expected that to happen is out of their minds. They'll be lucky to win 4 games. So deal with that and then look to next year. I know that's a hard concept to get a hold of, but that's the reality of it.
Well, it's a hard concept for a lot of people to get a hold of when they shell out money. We get that. Do you know who I – and this is just absolute truth. I have 3 boys. I have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old. Do you know what they asked me? All last year and last night. Dad, when are the Jaguars not going to stink anymore? That's their question, right? And look, and from Mr. Khan.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, and from these guys, that's all they've known, right? I mean, my kids weren't alive when the Jaguars were an annual contender. And that's an important thing for this franchise to get this thing going for, because that's the growth quotient. I mean, we all have kids. You and I have kids.
My kids have no choice but to be Jaguar.
Well, and mine are too. But the reality is that you want those kids to have that excitement level and to be fans of your team instead of video games or the beach or whatever else may come along. And that's an important.
It's a good point too. And you know, when people always talk about the fans of this city buying season tickets. Well, the guy who's now
that's the Bold
30,
City Brigade,
30-something years old.
They're diehards,
right? But they haven't really experienced much of the winning either in the time that they've been capable
but
of buying
season
tickets.
The hook got set right with those guys.
Those kids are now old enough.
But you
got to
reel them in now in this next generation.
How many rings you got?
I got one.
The one that matters.
He's over here basking in it. How many rings did you get?
But I got
that
one.
Look, but you hear the frustration, and I'm just telling you because I went home to it every week last year.
You should have 2, by the way.
And last night also, and it's for those kids. Those kids want to see this team win. Now, here's the catch. You'll hook them in the next couple of years if you build it right.
Right.
And then, and I don't know whether people remember this or not, but Vic used to say it, and he was right. The Steelers, who are now the hallmark franchise, 6 championships, right? More than anyone else? Okay. They didn't have anything better than a 500 season from 1929 till 1972. Right. They didn't. Now look at their fans. When I did games in Barcelona and in Edinburgh and in London in NFL Europe 10 years ago, You saw Steelers jerseys everywhere.
Well, let's just hope it doesn't take that long.
Well, no, I get it.
The biggest difference, though, Brian, is everybody moved out of Pittsburgh. That's why they're all over the place.
Well, okay, I'm not
people
even going
moved
there.
People moved to Jacksonville.
Would you say?
I'm not going there. But but remember, if you're patient and you let these guys do it right, if you're patient and you don't go panicking every single Monday morning and you let them do it right, you can be rewarded
by
if
the
they
way,
do it right.
I said you said you have one ring. I said you should have two, and you should have a gold jacket, too.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll preach that for years and years to come. You should have a gold jacket.
When do you get in the room to lobby for it?
I lobby those guys because I know them all, but, you know, they're all stubborn.
All right, let's take a break.
I'm news. Glad you are, too, though.
I'm stubborn.
News at the bottom of the hour. This is great radio, folks. Hope you're enjoying it. Jaguars Monday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690. We call it Jaguars Radio. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, there's a whole lot more there. Stop by Gate today. Welcome back. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Pacelli. The Fortunatos are here taking your calls. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. And let's grab some phone calls. What do you think, you guys? One, two, three, or four?
Pick one. I don't care.
Just choose a number.
Two.
Two.
All right, we're going to go with one, and it's John in Orange Park. That's the only control I have in this show. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be on the show. How are you guys all doing tonight?
Great.
Swell.
Hey, I've been listening to your fans call in. I've been listening to the people pick the team apart and everything and say that Gabbert's not the answer and all this. I'm a longtime Packer fan. And I remember so many years when they were so miserable, and I've been lucky to see them since 1992 be so good. The Jaguars are riding a wave. Teams are good. Teams are bad. Teams are good again. People get spoiled, and they still remember when Tony Boselli was that rock on the left side of the line for Mark Brunell, when you had Jimmy Smith, where you had Fred Taylor in the backfield and all that. And everybody's going to sit here and pick this team apart no matter whether they win or lose right now. You've got a young quarterback who I see has a lot of heart. He stood in there in the backfield yesterday on that zone blitz there in the first quarter when those two ends came off, and he stood right there and he took that sack. But I also saw a lot of drop balls, a lot of batted balls. I didn't see any traction get going on the offensive line there for Fred Taylor or anybody. We have to support our team. I like Gus Bradley. I like Shad Khan. I like what they're going to do with this team. They have a future plan, and it's one step at a time. And we as fans need to get behind this team, get behind the players, let them know we're behind them and everything.
John,
and good things will come from this.
How long have you been a Packers fan?
Since 1968.
Okay, so now you remember that the Packers in the 60s were the team of the 60s, right? They won championships and Super Bowls. What did they do in the 70s and 80s? Nothing.
You really want
zero.
Me to go
yeah,
there?
No. Zero. Absolutely nothing. Same thing with Kansas City.
Dan Devine took them to one playoff in 72, and except for the strike-shortened season in 83, they did nothing.
You ready for my question?
At all.
You, as a Packer fan, you'll appreciate this. And this is, and Pete, you can weigh in on this too. The reality of it is that if you're around this league for any length of time, you will have, if you do it right, great teams, and you will have bad teams. Do you know the team that has won more games than any other in NFL history? The Chicago Bears. Do you know who's lost more games than anyone else in the NFL history? The Chicago Bears, right? So come on. I mean, I understand. People are putting money on the table. They're tired of seeing this. That's why Shad went out and hired Dave Caldwell and let him go get his coach and Gus Bradley, and why they all said, this is a build. It's new construction. Understand that the way it was going and trying to patch it together with free agents every year wasn't ever going to get you anywhere close to climbing out of that cellar. They're going to climb out of the cellar. They're just going to take some time to build a ladder. So there you go. Yep. John, thanks for the call. Pete?
By the way, you know, this group in town got spoiled. And I call them the wine and cheese crowd. For the early years, it was trendy and cool to go to the games. And then they got good. It was a good football team. And it was fun to watch. And people liked that. And when they got bad, the wine and cheese crowd went away. And the people that were diehard fans weren't old enough to buy the season tickets. Well, they're old enough now. And those people who are buying the season tickets, they're hungry for a winner. They'll be patient. The smart ones will be patient for 1 or 2 years. But I'm telling you, 2015, this team better be ready to compete for a playoff spot.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Matty. Matty?
Either one.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
All right, Monty.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So I kind of hear, you know, what you guys are saying, and John in particular, but to be honest, I mean, you know, rebuilding, at the end of the day, right, I understand the fans' frustration because they're paying for a team. They're not paying rebuilding prices. You know, that they want to be entertained. It, you know, they're fans. They want a drive. They want something. And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't seem like they're delivering. I mean, last year was, you know, in my opinion, kind of.
Yeah, but you got to draw the line. That's where you got to draw the line. And yeah, I get it. And we talked about it. Last year was terrible. The year before was terrible. But this is completely different. And I know that doesn't satisfy everyone, Pete and Tony, but it's a completely different deal. It's a brand new general manager. It's a brand new head coach, and they've said, "Got to build this thing." What were you going to do?
Yeah, but here's
build on the foundation that had been here.
Be mad, be frustrated, be upset, but be realistic where we are.
Yeah, and it's not going to be that bad every week.
What is it? Is Matty? Is that his name?
Monty.
Did you think they were going to be good this year?
Yeah. I kind of had hopes. You know, hearing you guys.
What's good though?
I mean.
What's good? What did you think they would be?
That they're going to compete every single week. They come to the field. They put on a show. Winning is not everything. Winning is a great thing. Like, that's what they play. They play to win. But ultimately, you want to see a good game. You want to be entertained. You're showing up at the game for an experience, not just to party and drink.
You're right. No, you're right.
You want to be entertained by the game.
I have no problem with that.
No, you're right. Monty, you're absolutely right. It's got to be better than it was yesterday. It wasn't good for anybody who was sitting out there. And you know, not just the fans, but a lot of people who work in this front office who spent this entire offseason in sponsorship and ticket sales and all of that. Hey, they live and die with this, too.
And trust me,
it's got to be better.
None of the coaches or players enjoyed that either.
Oh, dear God. No, the locker room today was like a morgue. It was awful. They know. It's not going to be that way every week. But it may be that way again a couple of times this year. As they go through this process, you just got to understand what it is.
Well, what happens if it consistently is the same way, right? We don't see that you know that game that people want to come to watch. You know, whereas that it's competitive, they're putting on a show. You know, instead of getting blown out. I mean, if you're looking down, you know, 6 games, 7 games into the season, and you're not seeing any improvement, what happens then?
Well, then you start complaining. If there's no growth, that's when you can start complaining.
All right, appreciate the call, Monty. Thanks right. so much.
Yeah, no, listen.
If they're halfway through the season and nothing is improved, then they can start.
Listen.
Fans have the right to complain.
Complain right now. Complain right now. You should be upset. It was no good. No one's happy with it. All we're saying is it's part of a process that we're in the middle, or actually we're at the very start of, and so complain. I get your frustration, Monty.
Here's one. Ready? Josh is in Orange Park. He says you're a Gabbert apologist, Pacelli.
Oh, good. I like Josh.
Josh, you're on the program.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Nice. I've been a Jaguar fan for a long time, and I'll support him through thick and thin, but
like
these Gabbert apologists are no different than Tebow apologists. At some point, the excuses run out, and I think next year we'll have a new quarterback.
Well, who's a Gabbert apologist?
Well, I didn't necessarily mean Pacelli, I've heard people calling and defending him and saying, "Oh, well, you just got to give him more time." And
no, he's going to have this year.
Before you, Josh, you start throwing bombs. Who's the Gabbert apologist?
Well, the guy you called about 2 or 3 was saying, "Oh, you know, he stood and he took the hit and he's doing a good job and you know all that stuff."
Well, that was the head coach. That was the head coach that said that. The head coach earlier today. Well, you got that? Do you have that?
Well, you know,
what do you want? Let me ask you a question. What do you want the head coach? What do you want me to say? He stinks? He's awful? Cut him? That's ridiculous. That'd be a dumb comment for me to make. He's the starting quarterback. He won the job, and this is the year you have to find out whether he can be the guy or not. If he's not the guy, we will know.
Yeah, but you know me, and if by November, if he's not any better, you know I'll sit here and I'll say he's not very good.
Yeah, right. Hey, just so you know, just so we've got it straight, here's the head coach today. He was responding to a question from a fan through a reporter via Twitter that said, "What do you see in this guy? Why do you stand up for him all the time?" This is the head coach.
What I see is a guy that's very competitive. I think he's got really strong toughness. I don't know where that came from last year or years before or whatever about that, but I'm not seeing it with him. The guy is a competitor. He put hours and hours in this summer, in the off season, and he competed his tail off. And I have no problem standing up for Blaine Gabbert and what he brings to our team.
All right, so that's the guy. That's the apologist there. That is the head coach. And by the way, they knew going into this season they weren't going to be able to upgrade the quarterback position through the draft or free agency. So they made a decision that this was going to be the year they were going to find out whether Gabbert was the guy. And Josh, that'll be the theme when he gets back on the field. It will be the theme until he proves he's not the guy this year. And at the end of this year, to your point, they will either say, he's our guy, and it will be obvious, or they'll say, we didn't win many games because he wasn't the guy. We're drafting at the top of the draft. There's a couple of quarterbacks there. We better go get one. That's what this year is. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. We break one more segment. Tony and Peter here, Jaguars Monday, every Monday night, 6 to 8, right here on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Final segment, Jaguars Monday. Brian Sexton with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco. Phone lines have been stacked all night long. All night long. So here we go, and we'll go to the top of the order. We'll go with Frank from Mandarin up next. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Good.
I don't mean to be negative, but, at some point in time, I've still got a 95 jersey that I bought when we got the franchise. And, over the years, we've seen people that when they get a lot of money, they change. When they get the money, they just don't play anymore. And I won't name any names.
Name them.
Who are you talking about?
If you're going to take a shot,
it's
name them.
It's also obvious in the current that are on the roster. But I also think that...
Hey, Frank. Stop. If you're going to throw bombs out on the air, name the names of who you said. What players in this team or in recent history have laid eggs after they got paid?
I'm having a brain fart right now.
Okay,
was the tall black quarterback we had that we had a problem with and got rid of?
Leftwich?
They didn't pay him. They cut him before his rookie contract came up.
And he went to Miami, and Maurice Jones-Drew became his best friend and went down there. And now he's not producing.
Frank, we need to move on. Thanks, appreciate the phone call.
I don't know who Frank's talking about.
I don't either.
Let's see. Wayne is next in Arlington. Hello, Wayne.
That's ridiculous.
Good evening, guys. I have at least one question and one comment, and I'd like to start with a comment by sending some love in Tony's direction. I love his attitude, particularly his invitation for Taylor of Miami to come get some more. And the question pertains to the coach's tape. I was wondering if it's annotated with like subtitles or anything else we could do with modern technology so that when you're watching the tape the following day or 6 months later, you'll know what was called so that we will know, you know, who made the mistake. Some of it's quite obvious, but some of it we really don't know because you don't know what play was called.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. I mean, listen, that's part of the beauty of watching. It's part of, you know, all of us speculate at times of what we think happened on the field, and unless you sit in that meeting and none of us are going to be invited and there's going to be no cameras in there, you have to just kind of read tea leaves and watch the film and make your best guess.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did.
What did you think of
that? I fell asleep at the
end. What did you think about the 3D All 22 video? Did you see that? NBC? That technology is now going to be they're going to make that available to as part of All 22 packages, so fans and we can all
can
watch
see
it.
Everything.
Love it. Love that.
Well, the technology will get better, but you still will never know unless you sit in the meeting room. You won't know who's supposed to slide
or who should have had a double and all that. You can tell if a guy's getting whipped in one.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You get a better view of the game, but you're not going to know the intricacies of what a certain play is and who is supposed to do what.
No.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 355-NFL-1, Robert's at the beaches. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Long-time caller, first-time listener. Just wondering if you guys think they're going to do any kind of...
Did you just say long-time caller, first-time listener?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect.
Everyone's a comedian. Joking. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to do a moving pocket for Chad. With Mercedes out and with Meester's age, what are they going to do to protect our quarterback so we don't have, you know, a punching bag back there week in and week out. How are they going to move him out of there and give him some protection? What do you guys think is going to happen in Oakland to hopefully propel us into Seattle with a little bit more upfront protection?
Well, first of all, you're going to challenge the offensive line and the guys to play better up front, the receivers to get open. As far as moving the pocket, I mean, I don't know if that's Chad's strength. That's Blaine's strength. Blaine's more athletic to move the pocket, and I'm sure they'll run nakeds. And, you know, they tried to – they called – I only remember one naked, which I was a little bit surprised because they called so many in the preseason, but the one naked didn't work. It's probably why Jed didn't go back to it, because the way – it's hard to run the naked and bootleg out if you don't get the running game going. They ran one sprint out and then one naked, but the naked's tough. If you can't run the ball, that backside defensive end isn't going to bite, and so he comes up the field, and it's hard to get outside and break contain.
Oakland doesn't have a great pass rush, but they sacked Andrew Luck four or five times yesterday. So you don't expect them to have this. You know, most people can't even name who the Raiders' defensive front is, but they got –
Can you?
But they got after him. Their best defensive lineman is Lamar Houston, and he's a good player. But they got after him yesterday, and which to me is a little bit of a red flag on the Colts, like we talked about before. Their offensive line still, even though they spent money in there, isn't great.
Jim's in Middleburg. He's up next. Hello, Jim.
Hello. I'm not a big expert on football, but I've been watching the Jaguars for the last 3 years, and I'd just like to know, who is it on the defensive coaching side that are telling these guys, as long as they launch themselves like a missile, they don't have to wrap the player up in order to make the tackle? I mean, I just don't see our guys using their arms.
That's
to take
the whole NFL.
Down.
That's the whole NFL. It's become the highlight.
Block tackle.
No, you know what it is? It's I'm getting on the network. They're going to show my big hit, and teams and guys don't want to wrap up anymore. That's the bottom line.
I don't remember seeing that yesterday. I don't remember thinking.
I didn't see much of that.
I mean, there were some missed tackles. Don't get me wrong, but I don't remember seeing guys just throwing themselves at guys' knees like defensive backs had become accustomed.
Not just that, the big hit too. You know, they try and get a good shot in here instead of wrapping. They don't wrap anymore.
Tackling has been a lost art. Do you suppose now with the new rules? I'll tell you, at a junior level, right? Because my kids play, they drop their hips in the form tackle and the helmet. They tackle well. They teach it. And if you're taking the helmet out of the attack mode in the NFL, do you suppose there's a chance the tackling gets better?
Well, the tackling in the first week of the season is terrible. The tackling in the month is October, it gets better. In November, it gets even better. In December, you'll see guys go to the ground, and in the postseason, watch the tackle.
Yeah, and part of the problem is, listen, the limited practice time in camp affects it.
Yeah,
fundamentals.
Sure does. Two games tonight. We're watching Philadelphia. They lead Washington 12-7. You love offense. This works for you.
I love the tempo of that offense. It doesn't stop.
Look at the total yards. Philly has 189 with 3 minutes left.
Look at the time of possession. 952 to 158.
In the first quarter, and the Redskins have 9 yards.
And then the Texans and Chargers tonight.
That should be a blowout.
It should be.
All right,
on the road on a Monday night, that's tough.
10-point win, which is a big win.
I bet it's closer than you think it is.
How good are the Texans?
Texans are good.
I mean,
the best team in the division, for sure.
He doesn't like Schaub. He's a Schaub hater.
I'm not a Schaub hater. I just got to see more from him.
Tell me who on the San Diego Chargers is any good.
Phillip Rivers is good.
Okay, besides that.
Would you take Schaub or Phillip Rivers?
I'd take Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
But, who's he going to throw to? Malcolm Floyd and
The running back's not bad. Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, he's okay.
When he's on the field.
Offensive line isn't great.
No, it's not good at all.
King
Dunlap starting at left tackle. That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
Sounds like they're in the middle of new construction,
JJ Watt might set the sack record tonight.
And defensively, San Diego's decimated as well.
Yeah, they're hurt.
All right, guys. Pete, good to have you back in the studio.
Great being here.
See you next Monday night for Jaguars Monday. Don't forget, Jaguars Thursday with the Gus Bradley Show in the first hour comes your way Thursday at 6. Here on News Talk WOKV. Thanks for joining us, folks. Have a great night. Enjoy the football.